pinned down to plan to be here that evening. And Will, thank you for doing it. Well, over the last several weeks, I seem to have had an inordinate amount of conversations about prayer. And then I had at least one church member give a rant on Facebook about prayer this week that did not motivate this. And I thought about announcing, I thought, well, now everybody's going to think I'm just responding to Facebook. I do not live by Facebook. But we're going to talk about prayer, and this is going to be at least 2 weeks, and we'll see where we go from here. Because prayer is one of the most misunderstood, one of the most mysterious, but also one of the most foundational parts of a believer's life. And so today we're going to talk about that. Next we're going to talk about it, and then like I said, we're going to kind of see where we go. Today is focused on what is prayer. I believe that if I got 10 people together and asked them, what is prayer, I may get 6 different answers. Maybe even more, because prayer is just one of those things. And now this is what I'm inviting you to do, all right? Like I said, I've had a lot of conversations, and this is what I'm going to give you the opportunity to do, is I'm going to give you the opportunity to text me any question you have about prayer, and I'm going to do my best to answer it for you next Sunday. So you can text it to this. That's my number. You're going to send it directly to me. I'm going to do my best. Now, Wednesday night, I got invited to popcorn with the pastor. That's me with the Awana kids. And you know what that is? That's what our political candidates will never do. Stand before a crowd and answer any question that comes out their mouths. I got some incredibly great questions. I got some incredibly fun questions, like how do you get to Sesame Street? I got one question, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm actually 51 years old. And one of the students said, I thought you were 90,000. I don't know how to read that. And then one of the people in our church that holds a PhD gave me their question, you know, how do you feel about, I saw that and I was like, that's not out of the mind of a child, at least in age. But if you have a question about prayer, this is your opportunity. Send it to me, and I'll do my dead level best to give you an answer. But you also know me well enough that I'm going to give you the best answer I can. But this is the fact, church, is that living by faith means that there's not always an answer. And that's just part of the challenge we face. We had that conversation earlier. I'm preaching a whole second sermon here, so I've got to get going. Let's look at a basic definition. The most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not meditation or passive reflection. It's direct address to God. Listen, there are those that tell you, listen, if you really want to connect with God, just put your engine in idle. How many of you guys can drive a standard? The rest of you will not survive the zombie apocalypse. It used to be an American expectation that you could drive a standard. How many of you have tried and you just quit because you got whiplash? Yeah. Yeah, my dad tossed me in a standard one time. Didn't tell me anything. Didn't tell me anything about let it out slowly, anything like that. But listen, prayer is an engaged activity. It's not sitting and trying to put your mind and your heart into neutral and just kind of take what comes. Listen, any dead fish can float downstream, amen? Prayer is an intentional engagement with the Heavenly Father, with your mind, with your heart, with your emotions. So it is not just being. Now, I'm not kicking those that meditate, but I'm just telling you that prayer is not finding neutral in life. Let's go ahead. It is the communication of the human soul with the Lord who created the soul. Prayer is the primary way for a believer in Jesus Christ to communicate his emotions and desires with God and to fellowship with God. Let me say this, because I won't have time to unpack it later. God does not need you to update him on how you feel, right? God is omniscient. He knows everything. Prayer is more about you becoming understanding of you and communicating it with him, okay? So let's just give me that, all right? God does not need us to bring him up to speed. It is us bringing ourselves up to speed as we engage with God. Real quick, let's go. How do I pray? Prayer, it can be audible. You can pray out loud. There's no problem with praying out loud. You can pray silently. That's perfectly fine. You can pray publicly. And we live in a nation where you can still pray publicly. Amen. Thank the Lord. We can pray privately. You can go into your closet. We can pray formally, and you can pray informally. Someone said, well, is there right language and wrong language? Let me just say this, is if you wouldn't use the language in front of your mama, that's probably the wrong language you want to take to God, all right? There is a boundary, all right? But the Holy Spirit drives our prayers, and I'm sure he could take care of that for you. All prayer must be offered in faith, James tells us. Offered how? But he must ask in faith without any doubting. Now, that's tough, isn't it? Has anyone ever prayed and doubted? He says that we should pray in faith. Pray in faith of what? That God hears, that God cares, and that God can. Amen? You got to pray. You got to pray in faith. If you're praying without faith, the truth is you're praying by faith. Just offering up the prayer in itself is faith, because you don't ever pray to a rock. You're driving down the highway and you say, oh, rock, please put more gas in my car because that E I've ignored for 2 hours. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed. Doubt makes us like a boat on the ocean, just tossing and turning. Now listen, there's not a one in here, including myself, who doesn't wrestle with doubt on occasion. But we must persevere. We must purpose to pray by faith, believing without doubt. Going on, we pray in the name of Jesus. John tells us this. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. We pray in Jesus' name. You know why? Because the empty grave earns us the right to talk to God. Yes. If the grave is not empty, your prayers are no good. And the truth is if the grave is not empty, we're wasting our time. We're not even eating at this social. At least the Lions Club eats. And the Morning Rotary eats. If the grave is not empty, Jesus is not risen, we're wasting our time. Jesus says when we pray in Jesus' name because he gives us the authority to pray. We go on. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans tells us. Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever not known how to pray? I've got a couple of visits this afternoon with people that are between life and eternity. How do you pray? Have you ever had circumstances? Let me ask you this. We've got an election on Tuesday. How do you pray? You see, the Holy Spirit drives us to prayer. He prays. Listen, the two most memorable prayers in my life was the one I prayed just before the car wreck that killed my mother and the one in the car meeting my wife's care flight at Parkland Hospital. Those two stand out to me more than any other prayer. And I've prayed thousands of prayers. But those two stand out like posts in my mind. The Holy Spirit, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit, when you don't know to pray, the Holy Spirit, when you don't want to pray. Have you ever not wanted to pray because you knew what God's will was going to be, but you really didn't want it? And you were afraid, God, if I agree with you, something's going to... Listen, the Holy Spirit intercedes in us and through us and prays with us and for us. It's a wonderful, mysterious thing. Let's boil it down just a little more concisely, shall we? What is prayer? Christian prayer, in its full New Testament meaning, is prayer addressed to God as Father in the name of Christ as mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's you a nice, concise take on. You should memorize that before you leave. No, not really. How about this? Who will pray? Well, the wicked do not have a desire to pray. Listen, a lost individual does not have a desire to pray. The psalmist tells us the wicked, in their haughtiness, that means in their pride and arrogance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. A fool says in his heart, there is no God, the scripture says. Unless what? God, I'll believe in you if. Ed Setzer this morning tweeted, it was hilarious, it says, for all of you Cub fans who prayed, God, I'll go to church on Sunday if the Cubs can win. He says, I'll see you at 11 o'clock. Do you believe there were some Cub fans going, oh, God, if you'll just give me this. I can guarantee you there was. I can guarantee you there was. Are they in church today? I'm going to say probably not. Probably not. But you see, the lost individual says, God, I'll believe in you so long as you give me what I want. God, I will believe and I will pray if. Can I just go far to say this? A carnal Christian will pray like this too. Listen, it's not just the lost individual, because sometimes the lost individual doesn't even have the wisdom to cry out to God. But as believers, if we're not careful, we'll slide on over into that carnalness, and all we'll ever do is pray when we need something from God. And God says, just like a parent does, all you ever do is come to me when you want something. Grandparents, have you ever felt that way? Don't raise your hand, because your grandkids may be in here. Listen, the lost heart seeks God in desperation, if then. Now, what about the believer? Well, the Bible says that a believer, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, has a natural inclination to communication. Let's look at what Dr. Luke says. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. As believers, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit should drive us to prayer. There should be a desire. Now, we may not understand it. We may not do it as much as we should. We may not do it as thoroughly as we think we should. But there should be a natural inclination of communication. How natural? Well, it should be as natural as a mom to a newborn babe. How natural is that? It doesn't get any more natural than that. I have never spent a day as a mom to a newborn babe, but I've seen a lot of them. You see, believers, prayer is simply our opportunity to spend time with God. Not because God needs to make time in a calendar like you and I do. Anybody here have a full calendar? Yeah. I was putting stuff in my calendar just this morning. I've got stuff in my calendar all the way into June of next year. This is what is true, is that God, in His grace, mercy, and power, has time in His calendar for you. Well, and the scripture also is to worry about nothing. Philippians 4 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your questions, your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. This is a whole nother sermon. I can't even unpack this. And if you want to send that text to me, maybe we'll try and unpack it better. But he says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. And we already admitted we're all anxious sometimes, right? And then how do we pray? God wants us to talk to Him about everything. And how often should we pray? Well, Thessalonians says we should pray without ceasing. Well, Jimmy, what does that look like? Well, how many of you have a daily time of prayer? Put your hands up. You're not bragging on you. Put your hands up. Put them up. Straighten that elbow out. It's good for your therapy. Thank you. Now, this is what I'm saying to you, is every single one of us should commit to having a time that we just stop and pray. Now, what does that look like? Well, we already said that's a very varying thing. But it's like that email. You notice I didn't say letter because we don't write letters much anymore. But it's like that email. We need to find a time, make a time to just stop and write that email to God. Now, what does that look like? Where is that? I can tell you, for me, especially on work days, when I arrive on campus, my goal, now I'm not going to say I bat 1,000, my goal is before I get out of my car to stop and write God an email. Because I want everything from there on to be in tune with God, all right? Now, that 1 Thessalonians gives us this. As we're going through the day, now is there anyone who has no idea what these three icons mean? That's Twitter. Ronnie, you could. At Snapchat, and then that's Facebook instant message. Now, after we write that letter, as we're going through our day, it should be just a constant information exchange. It's like text messaging. If you text message your kids during the day, it's kind of like that. If you text your spouse during the day, it's kind of like that. About 10 o'clock every day, right around in there, I purpose to text my bride just to let her know she's in my mind and in my heart. It's about that time, and you know, I'll try and call her, but I just want her to know. You know why? Because she means a lot to me. But can I say this? Don't listen, hon. God means more. Don't tell her. And so it's that constant communication. We need to purpose to have that time. Now for you, I don't know when that time is. You know, but you've got to claim it and you've got to guard it every day for your own safety, for your own sake. Prayer develops our relationship with God and demonstrates our trust and utter dependence on Him. Listen, let me ask you this. How would your relationship be with someone who's significant in your life if you never talked to them? Think about that. We got our newlyweds. Let's welcome the new Mr. and Mrs. McGee right here. Woo! All right, you're a weekend. How's it going? That's enthusiasm. He didn't say bad. But listen, right here as newlyweds or those of us have been, listen, communication feeds the beast. And we will not have a working, beneficial, growing, healthy relationship with anyone if you never communicate. And if that's the case in our secular world and in our relationships, isn't it by default the case with our Heavenly Father? It absolutely is. Let's go ahead. We pray to praise God and to thank Him and and how much we love Him. Listen, you know, we're going back to prayer. If we're not careful, all we talk to God about is what our needs are. Listen, if all you ever do is talk to someone and all you ever share with them is what you want, you know what happens? They may listen to you, but they may be thinking about the sports page. I had a dear friend of mine. Love him. But for about the first 15 years of our friendship, it was a one-way street. You know what I'm talking about, babe. And this guy, he'd only call me when the alligators were nipping at him. And it was 15, 20 minutes to just listen to this one-way street. But I loved him. And he needed someone to talk to about the alligators. But by grace and time and maturity, you know what? We have a wonderful friendship today. It's so much more than it ever was. And so, you know, you got to, you know, spend time talking to the Lord. We enjoy His presence. Have you ever thought about when you pray that the eternal God is paying specific attention to you? How awesome is that? How unheard of is that? Go anywhere and find anyone giving undivided attention to anyone, and God says He'll give it to us. We pray to make our requests and seek guidance and ask for wisdom. God loves this exchange with His children, just as we love our exchange with our own children. Now, can I just say this? I would dare say that your ability to interact with your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your siblings, whoever, is probably an accurate reflection of your prayer life. If you can't sit down at a table over dinner and keep that phone laying down for any length of time, then I'm going to go so far as to say this, your prayer life's probably that good. My friends, we need to get back to communication. We have plenty of connection. Hey, parents, let me ask you this. This is one way you can make sure your kids or your grandkids pay attention. When you take them out to eat, say, everyone lay your phones flat on the table. First one to pick it up pays. And you say, oh, and you know what? Make them do it. You know how long it takes them? They won't pick it up next time. Listen, that's all you got to look at. And you know who's just as guilty of that? I've got to work on it. My phone doesn't at home. The other day I was with Hope and she looked, she goes, is your phone like that all the time? I said, yeah. Because you know what? I'm just like you. And I've got to be more intentional to lay that thing aside and put my mind's attention, my heart's affection on who's in front of me. Fellowship with God is the heart of prayer. It's not the exchange of information. It's not helping God to be reminded of what we want or we need. It's the fellowship with God that changes things. When we make petitions to God, we let God know exactly where we stand and what we would like to see happen. You know what? You can talk to God honestly. I was visiting with a man just this week that is in the process of dying, and you know what I said to him? You can talk to God honestly. He's big enough. He can take it. Prayer is when we talk to God honestly. Don't try to fluff it up. Don't try to fool God. Don't try to woo Him over to your position. Talk honestly with God where you are. Tell Him what your heart desires. Be specific about it. But this is where the tire meets the road. We must admit that God is greater than we are and ultimately knows what is best in any given situation. Well, now, wait a minute. I like the first part. It's the second part I'm not sure if I'm down with. Can I just say this? You don't get to pick parts. It's not yours to pick. Let's look what Romans tells us. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who became His counselor? Who gave God advice? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And to Him be the glory forever. Amen. You see, church, the power to your prayer life begins when you admit and you readmit that God truly knows better than us. Now, it may not always be what we want. But you see, God's perspective and God's wisdom and God's grace and God's mercy is so much more than ours. God is good, and He asks us to trust Him. In prayer, we say, essentially, not my will, but yours be done. Can I tell you that's the most terrifying portion of a prayer you'll ever pray? If you've ever stood over your spouse, if you've ever stood over your children, if you've ever stood over a loved one, if you've ever stood next to a hospital bed, and you pray, God, your will be done, it's terrifying. But it's comforting. Because God's will is always, say it with me, always. Let's say it one more time because I don't think you're convinced. Always best. Even when I don't like it. Even when I don't want it. God's way is always the best. The key to answered prayer is this: praying in accordance to God's will and God's word. If you are praying opposite of God's stated will for your life, you just stop wasting your time. It's like if your children walked in today and said, "Hey, Mom, can I have a tablespoon of poison?" No. "Well, come on, Mom, all my friends are doing it." No. You see, friends, God will never give you. Now, here's the question we always wrestle with. Will God allow it? Well, I could tell you in my life there's been a few times that the very thing I asked for, God seemed to tell me no, 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 but I kept saying yes, yes, yes. And finally God goes, "It seems." And you know what? Oh, He was so right. I was so wrong. Prayer is not seeking our will, but seeking to align ours with Him. You know what prayer is? God, take my heart, take my will, take my fear, take my dreams, take my family, take everything, because you know it's all His, amen? He's the creator and the sustainer. You don't have anything in your life that isn't God's. Say, God, take the metal of my life and bend it to parallel your will. Now that is a terrifying thing to say, because you know that His will and your will may not be parallel. How good's a train track if you have one going north and the other one going west? It's not good at all. God, bend my will to your will. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get there, it's smooth. But in the process, it can be a little on the bumpy side. Let's look at what John says. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which have which we have asked from Him. Do you know how I can stand in an ICU room and pray, God, heal this person in accordance to your will? You know how I know that? You know how I know that prayer will be answered? Because by the miracle of modern medicine or by the miracle of heaven, God is going to answer that prayer. Amen? God will answer that prayer. Now, do I want that person to go to heaven? Absolutely not. Have I prayed that prayer silently? I absolutely have. Do you know why? because the hearts of the people in the room may not be ready to utter that prayer. Does it make them weak and frail and unspiritual? No. No. No, not at all. You see, love and wisdom knows when to speak up and when to keep your mouth shut. Prayer is a precious thing. And it's something that God has offered to us, and the truth is probably everyone in this room has fumbled that ball. But my challenge to all of us today is this: let's pick it up, let's tuck it in, and let's carry that ball. Let's purpose this week to plant a flag and to write that email to God, wherever it is. Maybe you get in your car a little bit earlier. You know, I don't know what your morning looks like. Maybe you take that coffee break, but you take that cup of coffee and you step outside, and instead of sitting around the break room like this cup of coffee. That's delicious, by the way. But my promise to you is this, because this is God's promise to you, is if you will intentionally spend more time with Him, it will transform your life. It will. Now, listen, this isn't a single dose prescription. Just because you pray tomorrow morning at whatever time it is, it means everything in life. Listen, you got to learn to start batting for average. But this is my promise to you. And how do I know this? Well, first of all, because God's word says it. And if He says it, that settles it. But maybe that's too simplistic. It's because the first time I prayed, "God, Your will be done," and it absolutely crushed my heart to say it, was when my wife's life was in the balance. I knew what I was saying. You have to remember, I watched my mom die in a car accident. I knew what I was saying. Kelly, you remember. I had crawled right down in that floorboard and prayed. Kelly and I were together at the Rangers game, and he drove me. And I said, "What do I pray?" And he said, "Just pray God's will would be done." Now you realize at that moment it's 50-50, right? You don't even go to Vegas on 50-50. But this is what I knew, simplistically, is that God loves my bride more than I do. And that whatever God's will was for my bride was better than what I would want. And I remember as we stood, well, I stood, as she laid there in the ICU, tubes, she was still on a ventilator, and her eyes were open, and I leaned into her, and I said, "Well, God's either really angry with you or He really loves me." And her eyes kind of go. I said, "Because either He's angry at you and He made you stay, or He really loves me because He gave you to me a second time." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling you something I hadn't walked through. But I'm telling you this: when you begin to speak with God and commune with God simplistically and consistently, and you can come to a place in your life where whatever God's will is, it's okay. It sets you free. And my friends, the Word of God is given to you, and I proclaim the Word of God to you today to set you free through the power of prayer. It's yours if you'll just use it. It's yours if you'll just access it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the first prayer you need to utter is, "God, save me." God is dying to hear from you. Would you trust Him in prayer today? Would you trust Him for your future? I'm going to have conversations today with people, and the question is this: what about life after this? Because this life is coming to a close. What about life after this? My friends, the answer to you is one prayer of faith away, through a man named Jesus and an empty grave. Wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you love to know? Wouldn't you love your loved ones to know? The greatest gift you can ever give someone is the absolute confidence that when your eyes close to this eternity and they open to the next one, that heaven is your home, I invite you today to pray, if you are a person of prayer, for Van Sickle Baptist Church and Brother Roger Ratliff as they lay his sweet bride to rest. Beautiful people, godly people, servants of the Lord, and she's gone to be with the Lord. Just pray for that church. Pray for that dear man of God. And you would do well, and they would deeply appreciate it. Service today is at 2 o'clock. I'll be there if you have interest to go. Let's just pray together. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a moment. Our webcast will close here in just a moment, but that's okay. You're not going to miss a whole lot. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to have three prayers, all right? The first one is we're going to simply pray for our nation as we stand on the threshold of an election. And can I just say this? God's already in Wednesday morning. He's already there. So don't worry. We don't know what Tuesday holds, but we know who holds it. It's okay. If you want to just get down and sit around and eat bad food and watch election returns all night, call me. Come on over. Because I am going to completely geek out. We're going to pray for our nation. And then secondly, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to look across this room, and you're going to pray for someone that you absolutely do not know. If you're on this side, you're going to look over there. If you're on this side, you're going to look over there. Or both sides, if you want to look, you can look over there. We pray for Andrew. But the second prayer we're going to pray, you're going to pray for someone you absolutely do not know. And then thirdly, we're going to pray for ourselves. Is prayer important for ourselves? It absolutely is. That's the engine that drives our car. So let's begin our season of prayer as we close our service. We're going to pray for our nation. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, we thank you for all that America is. Lord, we know she's not perfect. And Lord, we know that there really does need to be some change. And Father, there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of division. Father, we know that you're in Wednesday. And Lord, irregardless of how Tuesday night goes, we trust you. We trust you. And we lean deeply into your sovereignty. Lord, nothing happens that takes you by surprise. Lord, you're not scrambling with contingency plans for Wednesday. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that our grace, our mercy, and our trust in you would completely overwhelm any anxiety that would be in our lives or expressed through our lives. Lord, let it not interfere our love and respect of others. Lord, for the church still has a purpose to proclaim salvation to the lost and to love. Father, we trust you in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to look around. You don't have to tell them who they are. I want you to look around. I want you to find a face that you don't know. Everybody got it? Now, here's what we're going to do. As soon as you have that face, I want you to lift your hand up. As soon as you have it, everybody put their hand up. Jared, where's your hand? We're all waiting for Jared. And Josh. And Sarah. All right, we're going to pray for that person, shall we? Father, we pray for the unknown person to us. Lord, you know them. You know who they are. You know where they come from. Lord, you know where they're going. And Lord, you know what they need. And Father, today I just lift them up to you. And I say amen to your love of them and amen for your purpose in their lives. And Father, I ask if there's any way that I can be a part of your plan in their lives. Lord, help me to know that. Lord, just let them know that they are one of a kind, irreplaceable, valuable, and precious to you and to me. Because who you love, I love. Because you love me. Father, bless them today. Give them a great day. Lord, meet their needs in accordance to your good and perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And now we're going to pray for ourselves. God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And so we're just going to communicate on our own behalf, shall we? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. And Lord, I just thank you for the blessings of life. And Father, I pray to you for myself. Lord, sometimes, Lord, quite honestly, I just feel completely inadequate. Lord, the world just seems to rush by, and you wonder if you're even leaving a mark. But Father, today I claim your promise, Lord, that all I need to focus on is you. And Lord, if I'm walking with you and for you and by you, Lord, whatever the mark is your mark, and that lasts for eternity. Father, help me to find comfort in that. Father, help me to rest in you, Lord, and just do the best that I can in following you, into knowing you, into loving you, into making you known. And Lord, my best is the best I have. And Lord, as long as I can lay down in the evening and with absolute confidence believe that my Heavenly Father is content, it's a good day. And Father, I pray for my family here today. I pray with those that are with us by the webcast. I pray for those who will join us by the podcast later on. Lord, just bless them. Lord, call their heart to you. Call their mind to you. Lord, call their hands and their feet to you. Lord, call their finances to you. Call everything about them to you. Because, Lord, when we lay it down to you, it's really only then that we become accurate stewards of it. We love you. We thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to utilize it more effectively. Lord, for your glory we ask, for our own good we ask, and for the sake of those we're called to love and serve we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.